We're reading from Psalm 4. If you would like a Bible, I guess there's some available if you would like to put up your hand and receive one from someone. Okay. It's on page 537 in the NIV. All right. Psalm 4. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and wine and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Thanks, Gillian. We'll keep your Bibles open to Psalm 8, 4 there. Let me pray and ask God's help. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word this morning, may you open our eyes to see wonderful things in this psalm. Lord, may you open our hearts to receive them with faith and trust and confidence and joy. And Lord, may we, as we leave here this morning, may we go out full of confidence and peace in the fact that you are our righteous God who has set us apart. Amen. Well, you've got a little outline there. You'll notice there's some blanks. So if you've got a pen, you can fill that in as we go. They'll come out up behind us here. But the first point there, relationship with God gives God's people confidence and peace. Now, I wonder, if your pillow could talk, what would it say about you? What would it say keeps you up at night? What would it say stops you from coming to bed? What would it say that you dream and scheme about before you nod off to sleep? What stresses and strains keep you awake? What gives you nightmares and leaves you in a cold sweat? What troubles you and robs you of sleep? Would it tell us what things you turn to when you feel overwhelmed by your thoughts? What distractions do you use so that you're not stuck there in the silence of your own mind and conscience and reflection? What would our pillows say about us? Well, it seems funny at first to think about sleep, doesn't it? But this psalm reveals that our relationship with our pillows is actually something that is deeply affected by our relationship with God. King David, who wrote this psalm in the middle of real distress. He was hounded by enemies, his kingdom was in a bad shape, and his people, we read here, are even doubting whether he should be king. And so if a king that looked like he was going to make them rich came along, David's head would be on the chopping block. But as David thinks about all of these things as he lies on his pillow, David, amazingly, is able to confidently lie down and sleep in peace. Why? Because of his relationship with God. Have a look at verses 1 and 3. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Verse 3. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. Now, this is just a little tip. Any time in the Bible you see the word Lord and it's all in little capital letters, that's actually God's name. It's actually the name Yahweh. And here David knows that the only true God who made the entire universe, Yahweh, loves him. David knows that Yahweh has chosen him, has made David righteous, brought him peace with God, and has set him apart, even adopting David as his own son. See, David's ability, with all the weight of a kingdom on his shoulders, with all the stresses and strains and the conflict that he was dealing with, was able to take that weight off his shoulders and sleep in peace because he knew that Yahweh, the one true God, had made him righteous, had made peace with David, and had set him apart and loved him as his child. And you know, actually, if that sounds pretty darn good, to be able to lay all those cares and those troubles and have them drop off and go to sleep, actually, that's something that anyone who has given their life to Jesus, anyone who has come to Jesus to be forgiven and found peace with God and been set apart and made his son or his daughter, something that any Christian should experience, this same confidence and peace. Well, today, we're going to look at six ways this psalm shows us our relationship with God and how that makes us confident and fills us with peace. So we're going to go through pretty quickly. There'll be a time for questions afterwards. But six ways that our relationship with God gives us confidence and peace. Firstly, it makes us confident to pray. Now, if a kid is hungry, there's some kids here, some teenagers at least. Let's see, I'm not going to ask my son. He might say something that will incriminate me, I don't know. Kids, who can tell me, if you're hungry and you ask your parents for some healthy food, what are they going to say? Yeah, they're going to say yes, of course they are. Or they might say it's on the way, you just got to wait 5 minutes. Yeah. Are you sure that they would give you some food, some good food? Yeah? Well, are you sure they wouldn't give you a snake or a scorpion or a spider instead? Pretty sure? I think you feel pretty confident about that. Well, look at verse 1 and 3 again. David cries out to God, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Verse 3, "The Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord, Yahweh, hears when I call to him." See, as a son, David was confident that his heavenly Father loves his children. Confident that his heavenly Father always listens when we call to him. Confident that he will never brush us aside or be too busy or not care. David knew that our heavenly Father loves to give his children good gifts and that there is nothing he can't do. And so David brought his troubles and his needs and his worries to God. "Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me," knowing that God would hear his prayer. See, if we're confident of these things, that God is good, that God is powerful, and that God loves us and has set us apart and has made peace with us, then we will pray eagerly and confidently. But if we're not really confident that God is our Heavenly Father, or if we're not fully sure that he really does love to listen to us and give us good things, or we don't really believe he can do anything, then we won't have confidence and we won't pray. Relationship with God makes God's people confident to call out to God and bring to him our troubles and our needs and entrust that he is good and he is taking care of us. Secondly, our relationship with God makes us confident to call people. Now, I wonder if you had a friend who's in a relationship and the relationship's getting pretty serious. They're talking about marriage. You just don't think it's the right person for them. You're not quite sure what it is, but you're worried that down the track, it's not going to go well. Well, what do? Your friend's highly invested in this relationship. If you try and convince them to call it off, it could actually destroy your friendship, couldn't it? See, unless you're really, really sure that this is a bad move, unless you're 100% sure it's going to end in disaster, you're probably not going to stick your head on the chopping block there and risk the friendship. Or if you're playing tennis and your tennis partner snaps their racket during a game, and you know you've got some blue tack and sticky tape in the car, unless you're 100% sure it's actually going to fix the racket, you're probably not going to bother suggesting it, are you? See, the reality is, unless we're 100% confident that the lifestyle people around us are living is going to end in disaster, we won't be confident to call it to their attention. And unless we're 100% confident that them turning to Jesus really, really will and is the only option and really, really will fulfill and complete them, if we're not 100% sure, we won't call them to come to Jesus. Have a look at verse 2. Here, David shows that because of his relationship with God, he is confident. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Second part of verse 4. Search your hearts and be silent, he says. Search your hearts and be silent. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Stop. Is all this running around? Is all this stuff, all these experiences, all this career, all these things that promise but never deliver, is it really satisfying? Is it really giving you confidence in your life that at the end of your life everything will be fine? Search your hearts and be silent. Do you really have peace? Do you have peace with God, your Maker? And verse 5, David says, turn, repent, offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. See, when we've been rescued by Jesus and we're fully 100% sure that life without Jesus just ends in disaster, and we're fully 100% sure that life with Jesus is the only life worth living and the only way to have peace and security and satisfaction, then we will be prepared to stick our necks out, to call people, to say, hey, is this really fulfilling you? I know someone who will. We're confident to call people. And third, we're confident to tremble. Have a look at verse 4. Tremble and do not sin. Now, this is a kind of a funny translation here. It's not about trembling in fear. It's actually about trembling with anger. It's like, you know, when you're just so full of rage that you're shaking. Be angry and do not sin is how many of the English translations put it. And actually, later in the New Testament, the letter of Ephesians, chapter 4, the Apostle Paul quotes this verse. And he quotes it, in your anger, do not sin. And then goes on to talk about how we deal with our anger. See, our relationship with God actually enables us to be confident to tremble with anger in a way that doesn't lead to sin. See, because even right anger, there is right anger, isn't there? there's anger that's not right anger, anger out of selfishness, or a whole bunch of reasons we can get angry. Angry just because we're tired or hungry, or there's no reason. But there is anger that is totally right and appropriate. Actually, there are times when it would be wrong not to be angry. So you see someone walk up to someone in the street and attack them. It would be wrong not to be angry that one human would do that to another. But it's so easy, isn't it, for even godly anger to lead into sin. I know this all too well. When I'm really angry, when I'm trembling with anger, I'm tempted from everything from giving someone the silent treatment to giving someone a tongue lashing, all the way to there have been times when I've seen people do such wicked things that I have been tempted to bring my own kind of justice in a permanent kind of way. See, in anger, the pull towards sin is strong. But our relationship with God gives us confidence to be able to leave justice with Him. It gives us confidence to look at a situation and say, that person truly deserves to die. And man, I'm tempted. But God will judge. And I can leave justice to Him. I can tremble in my anger and yet not sin, because I know that God will take care of right. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't do what we can, what is appropriate and good and right, to protect others or to call out wrongdoing. It just means we don't take matters into our own hands beyond what is right and appropriate. Being in relationship with the righteous God means we can trust Him with the things that we are angry about. We can be confident to tremble, and we can give over that anger and that bitterness and that vengefulness. And we know what it's like, don't we, to be eaten up by that. In my job as a pastor, sometimes I come across situations where people have done unspeakable things. And it can eat us up. But we can be confident to give it to God. Fourthly, we can be confident to be content. Have a look at verse 6. Many, Lord, many, Yahweh, are asking, well, who will bring us prosperity? Obviously, at that time, things aren't looking too good in the kingdom. Some people suggested that they're hungry. Who knows? But people are looking around going, this life isn't as good as we thought it would be. God's chosen His king, and we're still fighting battles all the time. We're still sending our sons off to war and they're not coming home. We're still working hard to get food and make money and to send things off to the battle. And, you know, all of our men are off fighting. Who will bring us prosperity, many are asking. David says, let the light of your face shine on us. Verse 7, fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. See, it's easy to get disillusioned, isn't it? It's easy to doubt God's goodness when life here as His people isn't as easy or as prosperous as we had hoped and expected. It's easy to look around and go, well, is it really worth following Jesus? Because my life, in an earthly sense, isn't any easier or better. But even while David was on the run and hiding from assassins in caves, David looked for his joy not in earthly prosperity and comfort, but he looked for his joy in God's face. He found a far deeper joy than he could have ever found in all the cheese and wine and comfort and security and pleasure in this life. in knowing God himself, who is the source of all goodness. In seeing not with his eyes in his head, but with his spiritual eyes of his heart. Seeing God's glory and God's goodness and knowing that God had turned his face, turned all of that goodness and love and mercy and kindness towards David. And if you have turned to Jesus for forgiveness, God has turned his face towards you. The light of his love and grace and mercy and goodness is shining on you. But you open the eyes of your heart to see it, then you would know a deeper joy you could ever find anywhere else. There was a preacher called Spurgeon, and he said this. Our language is a little old-fashioned. You have to bear with me. He says, there were many, even among David's own followers, who wanted to see rather than to believe. In other words, they wanted to see here and now. They didn't want to believe that what God had planned for them was coming in the future. Alas, this is the tendency of us all. Even the regenerate, even the Christians, sometimes groan after the sense and sight of prosperity and are sad when darkness covers all good from view. As for worldlings, this is their unceasing cry. Who will show us any good? Those in our world, never satisfied, their gaping mouths are turned in every direction, their empty hearts ready to drink in any carnal delusion which impostors may invent, and when these fail, they soon turn to despair and declare there's no good thing in heaven or on earth. But the true believer is a person of a very different mould. Their face is not downwards like the beasts, but upward like the angels. He drinks not from the muddy pools of mammon, the muddy pools of the riches of this life, but drinks from the fountain of life above. The light of God's countenance is enough for them. These are his riches, his honour, his health, his ambition, his ease. Give him this and he will ask no more. This is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, for more of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, may be constant and abiding. See, our relationship with God, that he has made us righteous, made peace with us, set us apart as his children, makes us confident to be content, whatever our situation. Because we know that when we see his face with our physical eyes, we will not lack anything. And fifth, confident in danger. Have a look at verse 8. In peace, says David, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. I don't know if you're someone that has many fears. I remember when we used to live on the coast by the beach. We lived by some quite dangerous beaches. And I'm not a good swimmer, never been a good swimmer. And I was just terrified that one day one of my kids was going to get in trouble in the water and I wasn't going to be able to save them. I didn't realize actually how much of a constant fear this was till we moved away. And I felt this relief and I realized that's why. I don't know what fears you have. You might have some very, very real, very genuine fears for yourself, for a loved one. I want to say if you do have genuine fears, please reach out. Do what you can. Some people with very genuine fears are Christians throughout much of the world whose lives are threatened and in danger, whose livelihoods and ability to live in their own town and their own city and their own nation are in danger because they follow Jesus. And I'm always so shocked and encouraged but rebuked when I hear these Christians speak about how they face this danger day in, day out. They know they could lose their lives. They know that night when they go to sleep, they may not wake again. and yet they have this hope and this confidence that actually if God is their protector, nothing can harm them. And that if it is their time for their life to be ended, that they'll go straight to be with our Lord and Saviour. And there is nothing really to fear. See, because of our relationship with God, we can be confident of danger. We don't have to be afraid every time we go out of the house or our family leaves for work or school. We can entrust them to God and to His care, for He alone makes us dwell in safety. And lastly, we can be confident in sleep. Have a look at verse 8 again. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Now, in our last holidays, we actually looked at Psalm 3. And Psalm 3, if you've got your Bibles, you can just flick back a few verses. You notice in Psalm 3, there's a very, very similar line that we looked at. It's similar, but it's different. See, the difference in Psalm 3 is that the focus there is on death and resurrection. And there, I can lie down and sleep, knowing I will wake, said David. Because David trusted in the resurrection. He knew that even if this was the last time he closed his eyes on his pillow, he would wake again when Christ rose him again. But here is a slightly different focus. The focus is not on the waking, but on the sleeping. And the ability to do that, because we know that we are safe, because we are God's. Have a look at verse 4. David says, when you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. See, our relationship with God gives us confidence to search our hearts before God, to know that all our sins, all our failures have been forgiven at the cross, to know that all our guilt and our needs and our worries and our families and our jobs and our work and our finances and our conflicts and our fears and our desires for control, we can lay that all at His feet. Give it all to Him and trust that He is in control of it all, and we can go to sleep. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? But I know sometimes still God's faithful cannot sleep. And sometimes we're not able to sleep because of a lack of faith, a lack of being able to hand those things to God and trust Him. But actually, sometimes we can't sleep just because God in His wisdom has chosen not to give us that gift at this time. Sometimes we can't sleep because God is testing us and growing us through the hardship of that suffering. So I encourage you, if you are giving everything to God, if you are entrusting yourself to Him and His safety, but you still can't sleep, keep praying before you sleep, before you lay down. Pray. Read some scripture. Put away your phone and your distractions. Bring every thought that then bounces into your head back to God. When you remember the thing that you're supposed to do, the rubbish you didn't take out, the chat that you had with someone and the silly thing you said, give it straight to God in prayer. And then remind yourself of the wonder and the joy of the fact that God has made you righteous, has set you apart as His child, that the light of His face is shining on you with all His love and His goodness. And wait and trust. Now we're going to have time for questions in just a little while. And actually this week, on our in our newsletter and on our Facebook community group. If you're not part of our Facebook community group and you'd like to be, you can just look it up and request to join. I'm going to put a few little articles, helpful articles up there on sleep and on trusting God this week, which will be helpful. But if you've got any questions during our next song, just sort of put them together in your mind. You can either stick your hand up and ask them, or you can text them through to the number that's in your handout.